Welcome to our service for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. By the time you hear this service, we will probably have held our first service back in church at Newquay. We've announced that from next week, there'll be a 9:30 service at Pembrenn and 11:15 service at Newquay each week. They are open, as we've said before, to people from all the churches, and we imagine that our limit of 30 we will easily keep within. Meantime, these recorded services, online and on CD, will continue for the time being. Other churches, Llandysilio, Crossen, Llanina and Llangrannog, will be able to begin their service as and when the people in those churches feel it's right for them. But we continue with our recorded service today. We begin with John Bunyan's great hymn, "He who would valiant be against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim." In our service this morning, we consider the parable of Jesus of the hiring in the marketplace. And I always imagine Bunyan singing this hymn rather as the recruiting sergeant would have tried to recruit soldiers for the Commonwealth Army in the Civil War at markets and fairs. "He who would show courage, let him follow the master, let him come and be a soldier." But here, the hymn invites a different kind of soldier to service.
Jonah said, "You are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God."
God be gracious to us and bless us, and make your face to shine upon us. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. May your ways be known on the earth, your saving power among the nations. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. You, Lord, have made known your salvation and reveal your justice in the sight of the nations. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from all our sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Collect for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that, always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, he changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city, and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush, and made it come up over Jonah, to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush, so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah, so that he was faint, and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You're concerned about the bush for which you did not labour, and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The New Testament reading is from Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sometimes hymns and their tunes are taken in surprise directions. At the football club I support, West Bromwich Albion, in recent years they've begun to sing The Lord's My Shepherd as a celebration song. I used to go to the Albion in the 60s and 70s. I promise you, they didn't do it then.
and nobody has any idea why they started. Meantime, Glasgow Rangers fans sing Follow, Follow, I Will Follow Rangers, which is a corruption of Follow, Follow, I Will Follow Jesus. And how many of us had heard of the hymn Amazing Grace before that extraordinary version of it which was done with the bagpipe band? Now the hymn is everywhere. Our next song has had a similar sort of history. It was written in 1974 in America by a woman called Linda Stassen. It's quite a nice song of its type, but it's not one that had a great deal of use in church. It's simple and repetitive, and for that reason it became the protest song of the democratic protests in Hong Kong. This is Sing Hallelujah to the Lord. The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the labourers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out, and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the labourers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. So now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Amen. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the beginning of Thomas Hardy's novel, The Mayor of Casterbridge, a man and his wife approached the village of Weydon Priors with their small daughter in her mother's arms. It is the end of a warm summer day. The man is an agricultural worker, a hay trusser, who carries his hay hook with him. They meet another agricultural worker, a turnip hoer, who is returning from his work. His hoe is on his shoulder, his lunch bag in his sand. "Any trade doing here? Anything in the hay trussing line?" The turnip hoer shook his head. "Why, save the man! What wisdom's in him that I should come to Weydon for a job of that sort this time of year?" "But there is something going on here, however, is there not?" "Aye, 'tis fair day, though what you hear now is little more than the clatter and scurry of getting away the money of children and fools, for the real business is done earlier than this." Whether the fair was a hiring fair, Hardy does not tell us. But the haytrusser and his wife have trudged to a place where there is no prospect of work, and in any case, they get there too late in the day, when even the small chance that there may have been is gone. Throughout the centuries of subsistence agriculture, the seasonal agricultural labour has been dependent on the hiring fair or the market square, where, if he is lucky, he may find work for a season. If he is unlucky, only for a day, or perhaps not even that. He may find no chance of work at all. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," or some translations say, "Give us today our bread for tomorrow." This is what is at stake for the agricultural labourers in the parable in which Jesus tells in today's gospel reading. It is the time of the wine harvest, one of the times when they can usually rely on there being enough work to go round. If they are not hired to work in the vineyard, even for just the day or part of the day, there will be no bread for tomorrow, no bread for them or for those who depend on them. "Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight," says the Lord in Leviticus chapter 19. And in the same chapter, "Do not go over your vineyard a second time, or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God." If they are not hired at all, the men will be reduced at the end of the day to gathering a few fallen grapes to fend off hunger from themselves and from their children. These are ancient texts, but it is astonishing, really, how the story still resonates today. Brexit is back in the news this week, and of course the agricultural industry in our country is worried because after Brexit there may not be a ready supply of migrant workers from poorer countries willing to endure the hard physical work of picking fruit and vegetables for the meagre pay it offers. Meanwhile, in the COVID news, unemployment has risen this week to a new high, with young people particularly and disproportionately affected. The master in the story is operating what is recognisably a kind of furlough scheme. There's not enough work to go round, but he pays the labourers anyway, even those who've only worked for an hour, so that they will have enough to live on. At one level, The story is, of course, about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles. The Jewish people have been God's people for centuries. They have kept his law and his commandments, being required to live to a standard of stern morality which made them famous or notorious in the ancient world, a standard marked by the painful ritual of circumcision. Are these new Gentile Christians, who have lived in the loose morality of the Gentile world, who have never known the edge of the knife, to be freely accepted into the grace and kingdom of God, merely on the basis of their faith in the carpenter rabbi from Nazareth and the teaching of the fishermen and tent makers who follow him? They have not borne the burden of the work and the scorching heat of the day. Surely their reward cannot be the same. All of this is an important aspect of the story, but it would be a mistake to imagine that it gives a full account of the story's many meanings. We have a tendency to try to reduce stories to a one-line propositional meaning. But if you do that, there's not much point in telling the story, is there? Jesus uses story to invite us in, to encourage us to imagine ourselves into the story, so that we can begin to imagine what God is really like. So it's important that the first groups of workers express their irritation and resentment, and we shouldn't dismiss how they feel. How often do we find ourselves like them, thinking that life isn't fair? The burden of our pain, the scorching heat of our griefs and sorrows, how often do we want to throw them into the Master's face, as these daily labourers do? The story assures us that we may do so, and that God understands how we feel. But he understands too the feelings of the last hour workers, the growing despair as they begin to feel that there will be no work for them today and no bread for tomorrow. And then, even if it's just an hour's pay, well, it's better than nothing. I'll just do the best I can. How often in our lives are we just getting by, struggling on, doing the best we can, without a great deal of hope for what it will bring in terms of happiness and fulfillment? The story tells us that God understands those feelings too. He understands how it feels to be in these very human situations. But above all, the story gives us an idea of the nature of God, what God is like. That like the Master, he is generous and patient. That he doesn't, heaven be praised, treat us as we deserve, but better. This is a kingdom of story. The kingdom of heaven is like this, it begins. It's a story where the meek are blessed, where the poor receive the blessing, where those who mourn are comforted. No one in the story receives less than he is due. It is just that there are those who receive more, far more. Such are we, touched by the promised grace of God, the God who will see us right to the end of the day and see us right beyond it. Amen.
Oh,
time for our prayers. Our intercessions today are led by Anthea. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Entad yr hynwyd yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, deled y dernas, gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni i brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, can i seiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu, a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
A prayer for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. Holy Father, give us a spirit of contentment and peace, that we may enjoy who we are and what we have. Help us not only to appreciate what you have given us, but to be gracious and generous to others. May the world's goods be neither hoarded nor squandered, but used for the benefit of all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God for ever. Amen. The coronavirus pandemic continues to impact the life of everyone, with a record 314,000 of new cases worldwide reported yesterday, 9 months after it was first discovered. We pray for all those who have been affected by COVID-19, for those who have lost loved ones, for those who are struggling to recover from the infection, for business owners who have had to close long-established firms, and for employees who have lost their jobs and now face an uncertain future. With numbers increasing, it is even more crucial that a vaccine is developed, and we pray for the hundreds of researchers working to develop a safe and effective vaccine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. On a more positive note, we thank you for the unexpected blessings of lockdown. We thank you for having the luxury of spare time, quiet time spent in the garden just listening to the birds or pottering about, time to go for a ramble in the countryside, time spent with family, cooking or eating or watching TV together. We pray that we will continue to make time to appreciate these blessings in the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In a week when David Attenborough's thought-provoking and scary documentary, Extinction, was broadcast, we pray for our world and for the environment. Lord God, our desire is that we might hand over a healthy and productive world to our children and future generations. Enable us to play our part in the way we live our lives and encourage others to engage in the long-term stewardship of a world that has been sadly neglected. For the sake of all creation, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the Church, that it may be a beacon of hope throughout the world, reminding us all that it is our responsibility to care for and protect God's precious gift of creation. We pray for those people who are already facing droughts, floods, and storms, that God may grant them strength and hope for the future as they try to adapt to the changing climate. We pray for all those who risk their lives to protect vulnerable wildlife from poachers and hunters, who would kill an endangered animal simply for its tusks or scales. We pray for world leaders, that God may grant them wisdom to make just decisions which respect the earth and all that lives in it, especially those who are poorest and most vulnerable. And we pray for our local community, that through God's grace we may be good neighbours to each other and to the whole of creation, restoring and caring for all that God has made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those known to us who are sick in body or mind. Healing God, bless those on a journey of recovery from illness or surgery. Grant them strength, patience, and freedom from pain. Bring restoration of health through your Spirit's power. Reach out and touch them so that they know you are there, bringing comfort and light even in the darkest of times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. There are many in our congregations who have known the pain of losing a loved one in recent months. Dear Lord, We thank you for the lives of all those loved ones who, whilst no longer walking beside us or holding our hand as once they did, live on in the collective memory of those they have left behind. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. You turn our darkness into light, and into your light shall we see light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.